I want to talk this morning on the words of an old hymn that I know you know very well, and it serves as a title for my message this morning, and that is, I heard my mother say, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, just give me Jesus. Oh, church, those words are very precious. And yet it's one thing to say or sing those words, and it's another thing for those words to really be true. Because, you know, I think that we all kind of struggle. Yeah, I want Jesus above all things, but I'd also like, and out comes the list, amen? We're not exactly so sure we're ready to say, you can have all this world, just give me Jesus. And today in the gospel and in all the readings, really, the Lord is teaching us about desire, our desire and the depths of those desires and how to fix our desires. And so I'd like to begin to look at what the Lord teaches about desire, and he basically does it in three movements in the gospel. And the first thing the Lord talks to us about is the hunger of our desire. You know, there's a lot of hungry people in the readings today, amen? They're in the desert, and they've seen miracles. The Lord parted this Red Sea, and they come through out of slavery and into freedom in a kind of a baptism. And yet there they are in the desert, and they begin to grumble. And they say, how are we going to eat in this desert? We're starving here, and we'd rather go back to Egypt, where we remember we have plenty of food, than die in this desert. You see, they want to go to Egypt. Now, Egypt is a symbol of the world. And they say, look, rather throw in my lot with the world and have a full belly than go with the Lord and not be sure about the next meal. And God says to Moses, you tell those people I'm going to feed them. Tell them to set their plate. When there's no food on the table, set your plate, because God is able. And God fed them in the desert. But again, what God was trying to show them is, in your hunger, don't turn to the world, turn to me. And we're going to see how the Lord develops that same theme today in the gospel. Because you see, there's also hungry people in the gospel. And the Lord, you might remember, had fed them. Last week's gospel had fed almost 20,000 of them there in the wilderness by the lakeside. And then the Lord got in a boat and went across the lake. And those people said, man, that free food was good. And you know, the Lord fed them well. It said they all had enough so they were satisfied, and there were 12 baskets full left over. Oh, they ate well that day. And so when the Lord went across the lake, they went around the lake to see him again. They were hungry. Now, first of all, therefore, let's look at what the Lord teaches us about hunger, as I say, in three stages. And the first one, again, is simply the hunger of desire. And you know, of themselves, our desires are good, and they're God-given. Without our desires, we wouldn't meet our basic needs. We'd forget to eat. We would forget to drink. We would forget to get married and have children. Our desires are good, and God gives them, and they're important for us. So first of all, desire is good. And you notice that it's their desire that makes these people take a 12-mile journey around the lake to go find Jesus again. And the Lord's going to have to kind of help them to fine-tune their desire a little bit, but of itself, their desire does make them seek the Lord. Now, I want to also say to you something about desire, and you may have thought of it, and maybe not. But there's something about our desire that tells us, that shouts for God. Now, think about this. Your desires and mine, our desires are infinite, aren't they? Our desires are without limit. Oh, we're so hungry. We long and we thirst and we're so hungry, and there's a yearning and a longing in our heart, and we're never really satisfied with anything in this world. You might as well just say amen. I know you were told to learn to be satisfied. Don't learn to be satisfied, because you know what? It's not going to work. Because our desires are infinite, are without limit. When was the last time you were completely satisfied? Maybe it lasted, what, 20 minutes? And then you needed something else. Come on, church. Our desires are infinite. And you know what? That is a sign, first of all, that God exists, and secondly, that He wrote His name in your heart. First of all, it's a sign that God exists. Why? Well, there's an old saying, no one can give what he doesn't have. Now, how can a finite and limited world give you infinite longing? Are you praying with me? A finite world can't give what it doesn't have, an infinite longing. So only that one who is infinite can give us that infinite longing, and that one we call God. So I just demonstrated to you that God exists. And secondly, that He's written His name in your heart. You have a God-sized hole in your heart that only God can fill. Only God can satisfy. And so it is that the first thing the Lord wants to teach us today about is the hunger of our desire, that we are filled with many desires, that we are a sea of desire, that we are longing and yearning at every moment for something or someone to complete us and make the aching longing and yearning just go away. But church, the Lord also needs then to, we need to move into the second teaching on desire, because not just the hunger of desire, but now we need to spend some time with the Lord regarding the healing of our desire. Because you see, our desires, although good in themselves and God-given, are in need of healing. Because after original sin anyway, our desires are kind of a little off the hook. And they're in need of direction. We want to see that, first of all, our desires are a little unruly, that we desire certain things out of proportion to what we need. And for example, obesity in our culture is just a sign that our desire for food is a little off the hook. We desire much more than we need. But it's not just food. It's so many other things. This lifestyle we call the American dream, it is so complex and difficult and costly to maintain. We want more and more, and then you got to upgrade it, and you got to get the revised version, and you got to get the maintenance on it, and you got to run around, and you got to stand in line to get the iPad 4, and the 3 won't do anymore, and it's a little off the hook, amen? Now, I know we need things to get by. I know we need money. I run a church. Well, I know we need money. We need food and shelter. We need these things. But we crave them much more than what we really need. And so the first problem with our desire is that it's a little off the hook. But remember, because our desires are infinite, and money is finite, money can't cut the deal. Well, I'll tell you why our desire is infinite, because it's pointing to God. And the Lord needs to heal our desires. And the second thing, therefore, this leads to the second point about it. Namely this, that our desires are also oriented to the wrong things. So again, we, if you will, see these people running around the lakeside to get bread from Jesus. And they want bread for their bellies. And the Lord says, you know, there's a deeper hunger that you ought to be taking care of too. And so the Lord needs to teach them. Let's look at the way the Lord does some healing here of their desires. And again, our desires are good, but they need healing because, first of all, they're a little off the hook. We desire more than we need of this world. And secondly, therefore, we often focus our desires on the wrong things. So notice, first of all, let's note, first of all, the doctor is in. Our desires need some healing, and Jesus is the doctor. Amen? The doctor is in. And it says that when they found out that Jesus had left that area, they ran around the lake to find him. And the text says, and when they found him across the sea, they said, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Now, they're playing him a little here, church. See, they know exactly when he got there. They'd followed him the whole way. They're trying to make it seem like they're surprised to find him there. Church, they went looking for him. You want to know why they went looking for him? They wanted another free meal. They wanted another free meal. So you see, but thank the Lord, the doctor is in. Now, they go to Jesus, and notice they call him Rabbi. Rabbi, which is a good thing because at least they're open to being taught by him. Amen? So their desire is a little bit off. It's not quite on the right target, but at least they're looking for Jesus, and at least they're open to be taught. That's a good thing, church. Amen? Now, so the doctor is in, but the doctor then gives the diagnosis. And here's what he says. He says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are not looking at me because you saw signs and want to put faith in me, but because you had your bellies filled. You should not be seeking," he goes on to say, "you shouldn't be seeking food that perishes, but food that lasts to eternal life." Now look, the first thing the Lord does is he says, "I see your desire, but your desire is misplaced. I tell you, you are not seeking me because you saw faith or saw signs and want to put faith in me and enter into a life-changing, transformative relationship with me. No, you don't want that. You just want a free meal. You just want your bellies filled." And you see, this is our essential problem, isn't it? That we focus on our lower desires, our bodily needs, but we neglect higher spiritual desires. Church, we have a very deep and infinite longing for God, for his love, for his goodness, for his beauty, for his truth. But instead of seeking those things, we just figure another hamburger will do. Okay, I'm hungry, I'm longing for something. Let's see if a hamburger will solve it. And we just figure another hamburger will do. Or if not a hamburger, maybe a new car. A new house, a new job, more money, more sex, more power, more popularity. Yeah, if we just get enough of these things, we figure that'll get rid of that dull ache in our heart, that yearning and that longing that just won't go away. And the Lord is saying, unfortunately, you're coming to me with an attitude that says, "Just give me more bread for my stomach. And that's all I need." And the Lord says, "That's not all you need." The diagnosis, I assure you, you are not seeking me because you saw faith or want to put faith in me, but because you want your bellies filled. This is the problem of many of our desires. Now look, in the second reading today, St. Paul warned of something. He said this, he says, "I declare and testify to you that you must no longer live as the unbelievers do in the futility of their minds. Rather, and being corrupted through deceitful desires, but rather you must put on the Lord Jesus Christ and no longer live according to the desires of the flesh." Listen to what he says again. You must no longer live as the unbelievers do in the futility of their minds. What's Paul getting at? The same thing that the Lord is getting at. Again, the futility is this, that I think that a finite world can satisfy my infinite longing. Now, that's futile. That is a waste of time. That the world cannot cut the deal. The world can't fill the God-sized hole in my heart. But the Lord says, your desires are good and necessary and God-given, but they're missing the mark. Yes, you need money, you need food, but you need other things too. You need me. And you just keep thinking, if I just go to the world and get one more finite thing, then my infinite longing will be satisfied. And it won't. It's a lie. It won't work. It can't cut the deal. And it is futile. And that's what Paul is getting at. And that's what Jesus is saying. And yet, over and over again, we keep trying to go back to the well of the world and think that the world will somehow be able to satisfy us. And it doesn't work. And so the Lord gives this diagnosis. The doctor is in and his diagnosis. Your problem is you're looking for food for your belly. You're looking to get your needs satisfied, just your physical needs, but I've come to give you more. Now, then he gives us certain directives. In order to heal our desire, he gives three fundamental directives. He tells us to fix our focus, to firm up our faith, and to find the right food. Now, the first thing he says is, fix your focus. He says, look, don't work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which I will give you, says the Lord. Now, again, here the point is that we should attend to things that endure unto eternal life rather than to the passing things of this world. But again, most of us struggle and do just the opposite. The world and its demands get all of our attention, and things like prayer and scripture and sacraments and building our relationship with the Lord and learning His will and obeying it, all that gets short shrift. We attend to the world and we neglect God and the things of the Spirit. We attend to our flesh and its desires and we neglect our spirit and its desires. So the Lord says, don't go on working for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which I will give you. And so again, think of the world like this. The world is a sinking ship. The world is a sinking ship. And unfortunately, that sinking ship seems to be getting all of our attention. And yet, there, standing on the water, is Jesus saying, I'm here, and I alone can save you from that sinking ship. We say, Lord, you take a number. I'm busy worrying about this sinking ship. And the Lord is saying, that ship's going down, and you're saying, Lord, I'm too busy rearranging deck chairs here on the Titanic. I'm going now to the Lido deck to get a nice meal and get a good drink. And we're also bent out of shape that I don't got a first-class cabin, and somebody else did. And the whole ship is going down, and the Lord is saying, I'm here, and I can save. And you say, you take a number. I'm focusing on the ship. And the Lord is saying, hey, fix your focus. Fix your focus. That ship is going down. Why obsess about all that stuff? Turn to me and listen carefully. I alone can save you. Fix your focus. Less think, worry about stuff that perishes, and more attention to eternal things that endure. Are you praying with me, church? So the Lord is saying, look, I know you've got desires. And I know that those desires are fundamentally good, but they're misdirected. I know you need money, but you don't need as much as you think you need. I know you need food, but you don't need as much as you think you need. Apparently not. I know that you want to be popular and fit in and that there's good things in the world for you to enjoy. I know all that. But in the end, you need to spend less time obsessing about stuff that's going down and look at stuff that's heading up. You need to fix your focus. Now, the next thing he says is not only that we should fix our focus, but that we should firm up our faith. So the people respond to him when Jesus says, look, stop working for bread that'll perish, but work rather for food that endures to eternal life, which I'll give you. And they say, all right, all right. So what do we then have to do? What is the work of God that we should do? What are you telling us to do? Is what they're saying. And he says, here is what I want you to do. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. Now, please understand, when the Lord talks about faith, he's not just talking about reciting a creed or answering an altar call. And Lord knows he's not talking about lip service faith. When the Lord is talking about faith here, he means, I want you to enter into a life-changing, transformative relationship with me. And faith opens that door and establishes that relationship so that I, knowing you and you knowing me, and you loving me and I loving you, I can go to work and begin to change your heart, give you a new heart, give you a new mind, give you a new walk, change you from the inside out so that you are less obsessed with this world and the ship that's going down, and you got your eyes more fixed on the one who can save you. So the Lord is saying, don't obsess about worldly bread and worldly things. They need a little attention, but mainly work on that which endures. And they say, how do we do that? And the answer, faith. Come to me. Learn of me. Enter into a life-changing, transformative relationship with me. And watch your life begin to change. And watch your obsessions with this world begin to decline. And watch how I go to work and begin to help you to work on things that really matter. Things that are going to endure beyond your death. Let me do that, says the Lord. And you will begin to see how your desires are converted and put in the right priority and in the right place. So the Lord says, fix your focus. And he says, firm up your faith. And then he says, find your food. So they say, all right, you're telling us to do all this stuff. And church, they're still looking for bread. They say, all right. They say, look, what can you do? What sign can you do? You say you want us to have faith in you. Well, here's the sign we want. Give us bread, like Moses did, and then we'll believe in you, and then you can give us whatever kind of bread you're talking about, whatever that is. Are you following me? See, they've still been a little stubborn. They don't quite get it. They say, all right, Lord, I'll tell you what. You've told me to work for some other kind of bread. I don't quite get it. So, and you want me to believe in you, so work a miracle, give me a full stomach now, and then I'll listen to you about that other bread. You see, church, and the Lord is trying to show them, he's saying, look, you got to understand, you got your eye on the wrong kind of bread. You're obsessed about the wrong stuff. I want you to seek me. I am the bread you should be seeking. And again, the Lord says to them, he says, amen, I say to you, it wasn't Moses that gave you bread from heaven, but rather my Father who gave you bread from heaven. And the bread of God is that which comes down to from heaven and gives life to the world. And he's going to go on to say, I'm that bread. But before he gets there, he's trying to show them, you need to understand, God does want to give you bread. But not just physical bread for your physical stomach. God wants to take care of your soul and help you to endure, because your body is going down. Your body is heading south. It's like the Titanic. Some of us in more ways than one. Your body is heading down. And God wants to take care of your body. Sure, he'll take care of your body. Yes, you need food, you need bread, you need shelter, you need clothing. God will help you with that. But listen, you've got a soul that's going to live forever, and you've got to have food for your soul. And so the Lord is saying, fix your focus. Too much attention on a ship that's going down, and no attention to the Savior who alone can save you. So firm up your faith. Enter into a relationship with me. Let me begin to convert your desires. And I tell you, you'll start finding and seeking the right food. So finally, then, the Lord brings us to the final passage in this gospel. Remember, we've talked about the hunger of our desire, that our desires are God-given and that they're good. But because of our fallen nature, they tend to get a little out of whack, and we're focused on the wrong things. And so the Lord then has been leading us through a kind of a healing of our desire by teaching us that our focus is wrong. and that we need to fix our focus and firm up our faith and find the right food. And then finally, the Lord talks about the heart of our desire. So we've talked about the hunger of our desire. We've talked about the healing of our desire. And now the heart of our desire. They said finally, all right, they said, give us this bread. Give us this bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And then he goes on to say, whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Now listen, church, all those desires you got, I know, we really do need food, we do need money, we need shelter, we need some things from this world. But I'm going to tell you that too many of us, when we're dealing with the yearning and the longing and the ache in our heart, are just thinking another hamburger will do. A new car, a new something, a new house, new job, more money, more sex, more power, more of this world, and it's just not going to work. That is futile. The Lord says, most of your longing and your yearning is about me. It's about me. A car can't cut the deal. Come to me. I'm the bread you're really hungry for. I'm the one you're really looking for. I'm the one you're really longing for. That ache, that yearning, that longing in your heart, it's really about me. Because I made you for me, and I wrote my name in your heart. A hamburger isn't going to help. Not that. So you see, the Lord first of all says, I'm the bread you're looking for. Now, he then goes on to say something that should raise a question for you. He goes on to say, I'm the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. And yet, I think the question that may arise in your mind is simply this. Wait a minute. And I know many of you to be faithful to God's altar, and faithful to prayer, and faithful to Scripture. And you're reaching out, and you are calling on God, and yet you say, Father, I'm still hungry. He said I would never be hungry again. I've come to him, but I'm still hungry. And so, what's the Lord getting at here? Just to answer it as a biblical, scholarly answer, and then to become more pastoral with you, part of what's going on here is that the Lord is employing a kind of an ancient Jewish way of speaking, which looks to the end of things and accepts or adopts them as though they were now fully present. There's no time for me to fully develop how this is used elsewhere in Scripture, but just know that the Lord is in effect employing a kind of an already but not yet thinking. He's going to the end and saying, what I will fully accomplish for you one day, fully and completely, is already available to you even now. Now, to put it in more pastoral terms or more modern English terms, the Lord is saying this, that to the degree that you will enter into a life-changing and transformative relationship with me, to the degree that I more and more become your bread, and I become that which satisfies you, your desires will come more and more into line, and you will find your deepest longings, your deepest desires, your deepest yearnings increasingly satisfied more and more from day to day, so that more and more you're able to say, Lord, you're all I need. Oh, Lord, you're all my need. You're my all and my all. I don't need so much of the world's applause or new trinkets and new toys. Yes, I need a little money to get by. Yes, I need some food to eat for my body. But Lord, I'm no longer obsessed with all that stuff. My priorities are really with you. I'd rather pray. I'd rather study Scripture. I'd rather just long and yearn for you and wait for you to call me one day home to heaven. Oh Lord, you're all I need. So you see, church, the Lord is saying to us, you come to me. and I'm going to start feeding you, and you're going to start finding that food satisfying. And the more it satisfies you, the less you're going to be anxious about that ship that's going down. You're going to be less anxious about that and more focused on what really matters. I will begin to satisfy you, and you will begin to discover that that God-sized hole in your heart is beginning to be filled. And one day, I'll fill it completely. Now, church, I want to just say, I'm a witness. I said, I'm a witness. You know, I've been serious about my spiritual life for the 25 or maybe 26 of my 51 years. And I want you to know that every year that goes by, more and more I'm satisfied with the Lord. More and more I'm experiencing greater joy, greater healing, greater peace. My prayer life is deepening. My love for Scripture, my love for God, my love for you increases day by day. So that Sunday is the high point of my life. I look forward to being with you and being with the Lord in this sacred liturgy. I love to pray. I love to read Scripture. I love to preach. You know that. I just love to talk about the Lord, and it's so satisfying. It just fills my heart. And little by little, I'm not saying it's done yet. I'm just saying little by little, I'm less obsessed with getting the latest thing, the latest upgrade, whatever. I'll go ahead and drive my old clunker for a few more years. That's all right. You see, the Lord can do this for us. And that's what the Lord is saying to us today. He says, you have a hunger of desire. And that's good, and it's God-given, but it needs healing. And you need to learn to fix your focus, firm up your faith, and find your true bread. And I'm that bread. I'm the one. I'm the real heart of your desire. And the Lord is teaching us today about our desires. And so, church, I'm a witness, and I pray, and I know a lot of you are too. The Lord is true to this word, that more and more I'm being fulfilled by Him. And more that song can be ours, of which we began. Simply says, I heard my mother say, just give me Jesus. You may have all this world, just give me Jesus. And more that song is ringing true in my life, and I pray in yours as well. And you know, so many other old gospel songs come to mind. I just wrote a few of them down to finish with. I'm mindful of that old hymn that just says, and I have it on the best of authority, by the way, that when the Lord saw them coming by the lakeside, He started to sing this old gospel song. He said, come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. That's what the Lord sang that day. Another song comes to mind that simply just says, God and God alone will be the joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire. Our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. Another song just says, Jesus, you're the center of my joy, and all that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, the center of my joy. Yes, I heard my mother say, I pray you heard your mother say, and your grandmother, and your grandfather, and your father, I heard them say, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, just give me Jesus. Amen.